Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, it's been an odd weekend, isn't it? A really weird weekend where, to be honest with you, football and FPL has kind of taken a bit of a backseat. We can't really start tonight without sending a bit of love to Tom Lockyer and his family and what's happened at Bournemouth. And fair play to all of the paramedics at Bournemouth, fair play to all of the medical staff at Luton. They all rallied together. And from what we know, and we're still waiting to hear kind of how he is and stuff, but from what we saw yesterday, what we heard yesterday, he kind of got rushed to hospital. Sounds like he's kind of at least alert and he's awake and seems to be okay. So listen, you know, we couldn't really kick off tonight. Of course, we'll talk about FPL. We're here to talk about game week 17. We'll talk about our teams and we'll talk about what we've seen over the rest of the weekend. But we could not really start without sending a lot of love to Tom Lockyer and his family. So fingers crossed, the big man's going to be all right because, you know, Luton captain, right? You could see the players and in particular the manager visibly upset by it. And of course you would be, right? And of course, and we'll look at what the official FPL guys have tweeted in the last kind of half an hour or so about what's going to happen now with the game and with points and all that sort of stuff. Spoiler alert, we don't know a lot, I think, is the answer in terms of the tweet that's just happened. But yeah, any thoughts on the Tom Lockyer situation or the game or how it was handled, everything else?
No, just hopefully that everything's all right.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of how it was handled, I don't think that anybody at Bournemouth or Luton could have done anything
really quick response, which is key, isn't it? Absolutely key.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Key.
And I think obviously, you know, when they were talking about what they did about the game, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you took one look at the manager and the players walking around that pitch once they came back on. There's no way
they can't play the game. Yeah, it's the right thing to do.
And nor should they be playing a game of football when something as serious as that happens either. So yeah, I think it was handled really well.
Yeah. So just to bring you guys up to speed, in case you haven't seen it, what official FPL have tweeted, I think at about 7 o'clock this evening. So what was that, about half an hour or so? No, about an hour and a half ago. They were saying that game week 17, the game week that we're in, is going to remain open after the conclusion of Sunday's matches. So we've had a whole bunch of games culminating with Liverpool versus Man U. We'll talk about the game in a bit. And usually at the end of that game, it would be, okay, game week closed, particularly as we don't have a Monday night game, as far as I'm aware. It would be game week closed, all the bonus points get updated. We then talk about our final scores and everything else and how that's all gone. But from what official FPL are saying is they're going to keep game week 17 open with some more information to follow in due course. So we don't know what's happening. Genuinely, we don't know what's happening. The fact they're keeping the game week open means that something probably is going to happen, but we've just got to keep our eyes on at official FPL to see what the guys over at FPL Towers do. But what we're going to do tonight, Sam, what we're going to do is we are going to look at the games. We're going to look at how our teams got on. We're not going to speculate as to, you know, oh, are you going to get the Solanke points or not? Because I hear a lot of that going on in the community. Like, even as the game was sort of, you know, live and poor old Tom Lockyer was going through what he's going through, people are worried about the Solanke point. It's nonsense, right? Forget it. You know, this what's happened has happened. But we're going to go through the games. We're going to talk about how our teams have got on. And then whatever happens tomorrow or the day after or whatever in the lead up to game week 17 concluding, maybe we'll do an update on Twitter as to how our team's got on, but we're going to go with what we've got. So game week 17, lots to discuss. Culminated in a bit of a damp squib, actually, at Anfield. I don't think the game was that good, actually, to be honest with you. And as a Liverpool fan, you guys know, because I said it last Sunday and I've been saying it throughout the week to all of my Man United mates, I was sort of quietly confident. I was quietly confident as a Liverpool fan at home against an out-of-form United, no Bruno Fernandes, and it just, I don't know, it's just a dire game, wasn't it? We'll talk about that a bit later on. We'll cast our mind back to Friday. We'll talk about Spurs getting the job done at Nottingham Forest. We'll talk about Chelsea's win and Cole Palmer delivering for his owners as well. So lots and lots to discuss, Sam. But before we do that, let's say hello to a few people. John Tyner is in. How are we doing, John? Nice to see you, mate. Stephen Harker is in. Burns 14 points. Steve, did you get Burns 14 pointer? That is unreal. Absolutely unreal. And even when we get to that game, that's going to be a talking point. Right, because Burn being back, does it affect sort of, maybe not Trippier, but maybe Livramento, whatever, who was also brilliant, by the way, Livramento this weekend. Finn McCann is here. We've got Polkit is in. Hello from Singapore. Hey, Polkit, nice to see you. Thanks for joining us. Scott Schrager, the OG, is in. He says, tough luck for FPL players that bought in Jimenez. Yeah, what was that? What's Jimenez doing? What was that from Jimenez?
I forgot about Jimenez and he's deciding that actually he was in the wrong career and he wanted to be a WWE wrestler or whatever they're called now.
I don't know.
Isn't it weird from Jimenez? Because it's not really Jimenez at all, is it? Like, if you just said there's going to be a player this weekend that makes a wrestling-style tackle, Raul Jimenez would have been the last player I think I would have suggested it would have been.
It was weird, though, because on the Match of the Day highlights, I don't know if you watched them, but Lascelles, about 2 or 3 minutes before that, they're having a bit of a tussle, long ball coming over the top, and Lascelles gives him a little bit of a jab. There's a little bit of an elbow. And, VAR, I think, sees it, says it's fine. But he does give Raul a little bit of a whack. It's not a bunny stretch of imagination, a red card. Well, you never know with VAR, do you? But it's not a red card. But he does give him a little bit of a bop on the head. And Raul Jimenez, clearly anything that's to his head, he's a little bit like, okay, well, what are you doing? But that does not really mean that you can go karate kicking the next bloke that you see, be it Jamal Lascelles or anybody else.
It was random.
And he tried to, as he was in the air, he thought, oh no.
Why am I here?
sort of pulled out and then sort of just crashed into Longstaff anyway. So I personally thought it was a red because it was reckless and out of control and stupid from Jimenez. Changed the game.
And quite a few people did move for Jimenez this week.
I
think I went on the FPL show and said I thought that he might be a good differential option if you were looking to get rid of Haaland because it was a nice, on paper, it was a nice-ish fixture against a side that weren't keeping clean sheets and without the goalkeeper. But that fundamentally changed that game. More on that later, of course.
Yeah, who knows what would have happened if he stayed on the pitch and it was 11-11, but it was it was really, really out of character for Raul Jimenez. I shouldn't laugh, because obviously Longstaff gets hurt. But I just, you're right. You know, if there's a lot of other players, you'd go, oh, yeah, he's a nutter.
Like, if somebody said, oh, Darwin Nunes is going to karate chop someone, you'd go,
Or, all right, you have a go at my players. Romero decided to karate kick somebody. Yeah, but Raul Jimenez.
He's about the most harmless one on the pitches. It's bizarre.
Yeah, Chatterbox 5200 is in. He or she says, bought in Jimenez as a differential. Oh, God. Oh, no.
It's just a nightmare, isn't it?
What a disaster. FPL and Songs Rob is in. Hey, Rob, nice to see you. Friend of the show. How you doing, mate?
Oh,
nice
I should
to
get
see
my
you.
Thing.
Yes, you should. Have you got it?
Look.
Without knocking the mic and stuff. It's hanging up. Look at this. Look at this.
Thank you.
Don't knock your tea over.
No,
whatever you do, don't
it's
knock your tea
water.
Over. You need that tea for your voice this evening.
I know. My voice is all
croaking left,
tonight.
Right and centre.
Croaky. Right, hang on, I'm back.
Trying to shake off this illness, aren't we, all of us in this family, before Crimbo. Tell us about this thing, because this is something that our friend Rob from FPL and Songs has put together. At Stickets, right? S-T-I-K-K-E-Z.
I-T-Z.
At S-T-I-K-K... I-T-Z, Stick Kits. Check them out on Twitter. Rob sent these over to us, and we've enjoyed it. To be honest with you, I thought that the kids would enjoy these, and they have, but you've enjoyed them just as much, you big kid.
I'm like a child. It's taken pride of place. So I've got, as you'll have seen from my Insta stories over the past few weeks and months, I have my signed Kane and Son shirt above my desk.
Tell us about this. Come on.
It's hanging up above it now, and I update it. So you haven't updated it at the end of the game week. So basically, you get these little... Can you see them?
Move them around, look.
You get these little kits.
Sanchez, you picked
that's
a good
Sanchez.
One there.
Yeah. I just picked a bench one. Oh, who else was on my bench this week? Oh, that's right. Tino Livramento. Here he is. So you get loads of these, and you get a little pouch. Oh, it's down there. I'm not getting up again. You get a little pouch of different ones, and then obviously you get the little pens and you can write their names.
But you can wipe it all out afterwards, right?
Yes, it can be wiped
out.
There you
go, easy peasy.
There you go.
Love it.
And you've got some space for notes, so I just write down how much I've got in the bank, the number of points that I use that for the points that I'm on totally rather than for the game week. I guess you could also use it to write down the number of points that you get for the game week that you're currently in if you wanted to. Mine's my total points pre-game week 17, overall rank pre-game week 17 with an up or a down arrow. But it's really, really cool. And actually, I am a very, very much a visual, old school, I like a notebook for my FPL decisions. And so for me...
You like writing stuff down, don't you?
I love writing stuff down. So this is ideal. And you can kind of, I mean, I was moving players around left, right and centre this week and looking at what does my team look like if I bring people in. It is really, really cool. They're available on Amazon.
So there we go.
Would make a great Christmas present.
Love it. At Stickets. Love that. Thank you, Rob, for sending us those. Absolutely brilliant. So Stickable Kits at Stickets. S-T-I-K-K-I-T-Z. There we go. Check them out over on Twitter.
Super cool. Thank you, Rob.
So let's crack on with the game week, Sam. Let's talk about some of the games that we've seen over the course of the weekend. Where would you like to start? Do you want to get Liverpool Man U out of the way?
Go on then, rant first. Is that,
do you want to just...
No, there's going to be a Darwin-shaped rant. I can feel it coming on. So yeah, let's get it. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. No, let's get him out of the way.
Do you know what? It's one of them where United could have won this game. Right, United could have won this game. They had just as many chances as we did in terms of quality of chances, I thought. You know, they got in behind a couple of times. If you look at the underlying stats, the stats will say something like 34 shots, 8 on target for Liverpool. It's ridiculous, right? Loads of possession, loads of corners. I feel like we had so many corners today. But the fact of the matter is, it was 0-0. And the performance from Liverpool really, in my opinion, didn't warrant anything more than a point. You know, I'm not looking at that going, oh, we absolutely dominated them. They got away with it. We had a dodgy VAR. No, it was none of that. It was all fine. It's just a bad day at the office for Liverpool.
The first 10 minutes or so, though, 10, 15 minutes, you were so fast. You came out the blocks like nothing. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a belting game because Liverpool are really on it. And Manchester United looked like rabbits in headlights.
Yeah.
And it was just like... And I thought it was going to be one of those games where Liverpool did just go on and riot. But you just never really took the momentum from those first 15 minutes and turned it into anything... that was like a really, really good chance that would have sent you away.
Well, there was a lot of narrative before the game about, you know, the 7-0 from this fixture last season and the fact that Liverpool were going to turn United over. I was even out, I had a few beers with a few mates of mine last night and two of them are United fans. And they were like, you know, if we lose 5-0, that's a result, you know. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? And there was this kind of narrative that Liverpool were going to steamroll at United.
Yeah.
So, of course, 10 or 15 minutes in, and we hadn't scored. And the crowd, you could feel it, right? The crowd
was... a big crowd today because you'd opened the new stand.
All of that was going on, but you could feel the crowd going, oh, okay, why haven't we scored yet? We're expecting 7-0 here. And it started getting a little bit, you know, a little bit antsy, a little bit sort of unsettled. And it was a bit quiet, the atmosphere in Anfield.
Mm.
And it just, and that had an effect on the players. And it was cumulative. You could see the players were sort of like a bit... like, oh, the crowd are not quite behind us here, but we need to do something to get the crowd behind us, and then it never really did. But fair play to United, they got the point. You know, I thought it was a pretty well tempered game, and unusually for that sort of game, right? I don't know, the Dalot sending off is bizarre, right? Bizarre. You know, I think he gets two yellows in 30 seconds, both for dissent. I mean, heaven knows what he said, but he must have been, must have said something pretty bad to get two yellows in 30 seconds. But from an FPL perspective, what are we saying? Because you've got Tsimikas, you've got Mo. Obviously, we both captained Mo this week. Whereas I think most FPL managers would have done that.
I didn't really think about anyone else, to be honest, either. I just thought that with the way that Liverpool playing, the way Manchester United were playing, I'm not annoyed about the captaincy blank, weirdly. Some weeks, captain's blank, and you feel really annoyed at the end of it. This week, I just kind of was a bit like, okay, I wouldn't have done anything different.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But yeah, I mean, I've got Tsimikas. He got bonus point today, which I know is not the same as Trent getting 3 bonus points. However...
half the price, though, isn't it?
So exactly. Yeah. And, you know, when you're looking at budgets and everything else, I really struggle to have Trent right now.
Ask me the Darwin question. Go on.
How are you feeling about Darwin?
I think, you know, having bought him in 4 weeks ago ahead of Fulham at home, Sheffield United away, Crystal Palace away, Man United at home... if you'd have said to me at the end of all that, he'd pick up more bookings than goal involvements, I'd have been like, what are you talking about? Like, he's had 2 bookings over that period and got like 1 assist.
Mm.
And he's just so frustrating. And it's not like, you know, if in the past you've had him, I've had him in FPL, and you go, oh, he's a real XG merchant. He gets those massive, he misses those chances. How can you have an FPL? He misses the chances. And I always stick up for him. I say, well, at least he's getting in those positions and he'll convert that XG into actual points at some stage. He's not even really getting the XG at the moment.
No.
He's not even really getting the XG. And that is a bit of a concern for me. And I know there'll be a lot of FPL managers that did Watkins to Darwin a few weeks ago. Well, if it wasn't time to if it wasn't time to reverse that transfer, you know, in the last couple of weeks, it definitely is this week. You know, we'll talk about Watkins and Villa, but again, great character from Villa. 1-0 down, come back, they win 2-1. Watkins scores. He's all full of it in front of the fans and everything else, isn't he? You know, proper, really dragging Villa along by the scruff of the neck and being a leader, Ollie Watkins, in a way that just Nunes just isn't. He just isn't, man. And like, he's like born offside, Darwin, the last couple of games as well. There's so many times he's been, and like, when I say offside, I mean like really unnecessarily offside as well. There's a couple of offsides this week.
Bad ones today.
Today, he's offside. I'm just like, it's not even United playing a really good offside trap.
No.
Or last week, like Palace playing a really good offside trap. It's just offside. It's like, what you're doing, mate? Have a look along the line. I don't know. I'm almost certainly going to sell him this week. The only reason that I haven't yet is because I don't know where I'm going to go yet. More on that a bit later on. Because I've already got Watkins. So if you did Watkins to Darwin a few weeks ago and you're like, oh, at some stage I need to get Watkins back, now is the week. Now is the week. Bin Darwin off. He's got Arsenal at home next week. And he could do something in that game. Maybe. But Watkins has got Sheffield United at home, I think. Going to be highly captained in next game week, I would suggest. So, yeah, Darwin just... It's one of them where I bought him in on the back of, you know, I'd see him for 3 weeks, which actually ended up extending to four because of some stuff around Haaland. I thought, well, all right, I'll give him the Man United game, those four games. And it's just not worked. It's just not worked. And, yeah, I just want to get rid of him. I assume if you had him, you'd think in a similar vein, right? You've certainly not got any thoughts to buying him.
No, I think I think you couldn't have sold Darwin ahead of this game against Manchester United, given how Liverpool were playing. I know he hasn't been great in the last three, but Liverpool were playing well going into this one. Manchester United really weren't. So I think you had to hold him for this one. But with Arsenal up next, it feels like the perfect opportunity, really, to do something a bit different. And I hear what you're saying about the front line, particularly with like Jimenez now being suspended, because that's another one that you can't.
Yeah,
you can't really have. But there are players in there that you could go to, most of them significantly cheaper, and that would allow you to maybe spread some budget elsewhere across the rest of your team, maybe upgrade one of the defenders if you've got a cheap one. Like, a lot of people will be looking at Tsimikas with Robertson. The arrival of Robertson back into the Liverpool 11 isn't that far out now.
Potentially, like, yeah.
You know, we've had a good run out of Jimenez, and I think... In my Tsimikas. Mind, sorry, out of, who did I say?
Jimenez.
I meant Tsimikas.
Got Kung Fu on the brain.
I've got Kung Fu on the brain, yeah. Yeah, with Tsimikas, I'm sort of looking at my team thinking, okay, well, maybe in a couple of weeks' time, however long it takes for Robbo to come back, I might have a bit of a problem with my defence because of the price point that he's at. So I'd like there to be some money that enables me to take Jimenez to somebody. What is wrong with me? To take Tsimikas to somebody else.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. And if you want to stay invested in that Liverpool defence, then you've got to have significantly more because it's going to be a Van Dijk or a Trent or somebody that you've got
and
to
And what if you want Jimenez?
If you want Jimenez, you have to wait because he's still suspended.
Yeah, I'm with you on that because, again, I've got... I think some of us are going to have a Tsimikas problem when Robbo's back.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to have a Jamal Lascelles issue at some stage because Botman's coming back. Although Cher got injured at the weekend, didn't he? So don't know how much of an issue that's going to be. So taking some money out of Darwin, I'm absolutely considering doing Darwin back down to Cameron Archer.
Because
even if I go to Dom Solanke, not that much of a saving, but that might be where I go. But if I went all the way back down to Cameron Archer and just went with Haaland, because I kept Haaland and Watkins, then I can just invest that money elsewhere. And at the moment, I don't feel the need to invest it in midfield. So, but defensively, yes, Tsimikas, Lascelles, Kabore are three of my back five.
That's not ideal.
And that's not ideal. Yeah, it's not ideal. I could definitely need some investment. But listen, I don't want to talk too much more about the game. From a Man United perspective, we can look at the fixtures if you like. They are second in the fixture ticker away to West Ham in 18, Villa at home, Forest away, Spurs at home. I mean, I know they're second there in the ticker, but they're tricky little games, aren't they? West Ham, Forest and Wolves away, and then the home games against Villa and Spurs. Wouldn't necessarily have them all blue, would you?
No, and I think the other thing is that we saw from Manchester United today, like, they dug in and they defended today. They didn't really get... There weren't that many opportunities for them to... Like, really clear-cut opportunities for them to score goals against Liverpool today. And I don't think that was... I think that was more to do with them and the personnel they had available to them. Now, interesting that Rashford did come on today, so obviously that will help, and obviously they'll have Bruno Fernandes back from his suspension next week as well, so that will help too.
Don't think you're picking them though, are you?
No, you're not. No, I think that's the point I'm making, is that those fixtures might look good on paper, but can they really score goals in those games? Because the teams that you're talking about there are ones that generally have been doing okay over the course of this early part of the season. So for me, they're still in a void, Manchester United. I don't think there's anybody in there that I'm really looking at seriously thinking, oh, they might be a decent option.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, those blue fixtures, there's a few of you in the chat saying, yeah, why are they showing blue? I'm not convinced they're that blue as well. West Ham at home are a decent side. Villa just are a decent side, full stop. Going away to Forest, I think you'd back United, but it's not easy. And then Spurs, obviously not easy. There's a few in there that I definitely wouldn't say are blue enough. So I'm not going to be going there, I don't think. Let's move on from that game. Please, let's move on from that game, because it was really not a great game to talk about. We did touch on briefly there some of the injuries at Newcastle. So let's do Newcastle 3, Fulham 0 next. Now, obviously, you can this is where you can actually talk about Jimenez if you want to. But I think we've done enough of that already and how stupid he was during the game.
Aww.
But Newcastle, again, the injuries mounting up. Cher pulling up with what looked like a pretty Mickey van der Ven-style hamstring injury.
It didn't look great.
And Joe Linton going off with an injury as well. So
also not ideal.
Not ideal. I want to give a shout out first and foremost to, I can't think of the kid's first name, I'm afraid, but is it Lewis Smiley?
Yes.
Lewis Smiley. He come on and he was really, really good. And he's at 17. He scored his first goal. I'd absolutely love to see it. You absolutely love to see it. But I genuinely think, you know, there could have been a very different outcome in this game had Fulham kept 11 players on the pitch.
So
but in
I
the
agree.
End, Newcastle got the job done.
I agree. I mean, I think that this game was looking difficult for Newcastle. They'd lost Fabianchar. That's hard. When you're already down, your goalkeeper, your captain suspended.
Yeah.
And was carrying a bit of a something coming out of the Champions League as well. You've got no Botman, who would normally be there as your first choice. You're having to play Livramento in Trippier's position. Now, I thought Livramento was great, but that's beside the point. You've got no Isak, which came out of the blue. Typical Eddie Howe, not giving us that update.
Eddie Howe's a bit of an FPL
nightmare.
Yeah.
He's an absolute nightmare.
He doesn't like giving us any information, does he?
He doesn't give anyone anything.
He even gives us the wrong information sometimes.
His poker face is a scene, by the way.
He must be so
never,
good at
ever
poker.
Play poker with Eddie Howe, because you can't read him at all.
Can't trust the guy.
No, it's a nightmare. So yeah, Newcastle, I think, going into that game, part of the reason I benched Livramento, well, there was two reasons I benched Livramento this week. First one was that Fulham have been scoring really well. The goals have been flowing for Fulham, and,
yes,
and
have,
Newcastle
yeah.
haven't been solid defensively, so I thought that Fulham might score. I was conscious that Livramento might get an attacking return in his position, because he was going to play Trips' position, and I thought, right, well, that's going to be the most attacking of the Newcastle defenders, so there's a risk. And I also had so many flags, I was convinced that somebody across my midfield wouldn't play, and therefore he'd come on anyway. He didn't, as it happens.
Did you have any other Newcastle defenders? Or
no.
Just, you've got to hedge against that and play Tino, surely.
Well, so part of the issue I had was that I obviously have made the goalkeeper mistakes from hell over the course of this season so far. That position for me has been like a poison chalice. I had Onana in there at the beginning when he was just absolutely woeful. Then I had brought in Areola, who can't keep a clean sheet for love nor money.
Yeah.
Then I brought in Sanchez, because I thought, with Chelsea looking like they might get some clean sheets, and lo and behold, they get a clean sheet. But Sanchez is injured for a few weeks, so
a
whole thing's a disaster. And at the same time, I sold Matt Turner for that rather than selling Areola, and Areola hasn't come back into the West Ham lineup. So I didn't have a goalkeeper at all.
Why are you just not getting Dubravka?
Because Leo didn't want to take another -4 to make another goalkeeper change.
You should have got
him
instead of Sanchez. Come on, just get Dubravka. It's easy, isn't it?
At the time when that was the case, Newcastle weren't keeping clean sheets, and the Chelsea run of fixtures was really, really nice. And nobody thinks Sanchez is going to get injured and be out for a few weeks. You don't buy a player in case they get injured. Otherwise, you don't buy anybody.
But surely you're looking at that going, well, over the course of this season, Chelsea have been guff and Newcastle have been brilliant defensively.
No, but I wasn't looking at it over the course of the season. I was looking at it over the festive period, because come January, when I wild card, I'm going to make a different change in the goalkeepers anyway. So it's just a case of who's got the nicest fixtures for this 6-week period that I really need the goalkeeper to be functioning for. And in that moment, it was Robert Sanchez. And it's just been I've just been really unlucky, I think, with the goalkeeper situation. So we'll see what happens. Livramento may yet come off my bench. He's my first sub. We have
three bonus for Livramento without being involved in anything.
No.
And I'm looking at the Fantasy Football Scout members area, and he's sort of, he's not there in the top five for chances created. He's not there in the top five for passing or crossing. He's not there for touches in the opponent's half. So what was he doing that's made him the second best defender across the game week after Trent with 34 underlying BPS? What's he doing?
Well, I think it was all of the things. Normally, when you look at the top bonus points, they go to somebody who was really involved in the goals. And if you look at the people that were involved in the goals, it's very spread across the Newcastle side. It's not like one person's really standing out. At the same time, obviously, the clean sheet sticks, so that helps. So, like, you know, I was surprised that Dan Byrne wasn't higher.
I think he was surprised with the goal as well. Did you see a look on his face? Yeah. He couldn't believe it. With his, he sort of fluffed the header, didn't he, and then sort of kneed it in, and he was a bit apologetic about that.
Yeah.
That's enough on the defence. Tell me about Anthony Gordon then, because again, Eddie Howe's done us here, isn't he? He's done us again. The kid can't run. He's flagged in FPL. I took him out this week.
Yeah, but I didn't... Okay, so I think you... I expected Gordon to play.
Mm.
So the kid can't... He didn't actually say can't run. He said he can't run as he normally would.
Right.
So basically, he doesn't have the speed that he normally does. And that's because you flogged him like he's a dead horse. Because yeah. he's the only fit player you've got left. So you've been playing him till he's basically... You know, he can't run anymore. But when you look at that squad that Newcastle have got at the moment, it's so paper thin.
He's got to play him.
He's got to play him.
Yeah.
He's got
can
to
you stand
out.
Up?
Can
You're
you
out.
Walk?
Yeah.
It was basically a, can you walk, Gordon? Yes, you can. Get your boots on, you're out.
Well, let's have a look at Newcastle's fixtures going forward then. It's Luton and Forest coming up next, so you're definitely not selling Anthony Gordon or any of the others ahead of that. Then it's Liverpool, City and Aston Villa, so it gets more difficult from 20.
So what are you going to do?
What do you mean, with what?
Well, because you've sold Anthony Gordon.
I have, yeah, I have. And to be honest with you, I'm absolutely delighted that he only got 6 points. Because if you look at those highlights, he had one off the underside of the bar. He was one, was it a good save by the keeper or was it a good block? I can't remember. But either way, he was definitely there and involved. Yeah. And he should have had more than six for sure. He could have had double digit haul. No, without, you know, if he'd have got over 10 points, you'd have been like, yeah.
Could have been Palmer's deserve, style,
it was,
couldn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It was a really, really good performance. I'm probably not going to go there. I'm probably not going to go there because, again, I look across my midfield and we'll talk about our teams in just a second. But I'm not sure where he goes. I've got those five spots kind of sewn up right now. Luton and Forest. It's that Forest game in 19. That's the one. Because away from home, Newcastle, I think, Luton away, is I think it's a tricky little trip for them, right, in 18. Because you know what Luton are going to do. They do it at home to all the big teams.
They
right?
do it at home, yeah.
They're aggressive. Mm-hmm. They dig in. They'll defensively be good. They'll try and hit you on the break, and they're good.
Yes.
But Forest at home, that's the one. Then it's Anfield. Then it's Man City. Then it's Villa Park. So it could just... I'm probably not going to go back for Anthony Gordon now and just get behind the sofa in 19.
The one thing I also would say is just be really mindful, everybody, that we've got EFL Cup action Tuesday, Wednesday this week, which obviously Newcastle are part of. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're part of it as well. So Everton and Fulham, Port Vale and Middlesbrough beside the point, Chelsea and Newcastle, they're playing their three matches on Tuesday evening, and then the Liverpool game against West Ham is on Wednesday evening.
Okay.
And obviously then we have the FPL deadline on Thursday. So just be really mindful, because Newcastle, yeah. this is another game in a schedule where they really, really don't need any more fixtures, where they've got more players getting injured with Joe Linton and with Fabian Schär. Now, yes, they've got people coming back from injury, and yes, they have Trippier back from suspension. But going forward again, they've actually lost a player rather than gaining one. And we don't know the extent of the Isak injury. And let's be frank, Eddie Howe's not going to tell us the truth anyway.
So no, just not even a mention of Isak in his pre-match press conference.
Nothing.
Nothing about Isak. And there'll be people on this stream now that bought Isak in for Haaland or whatever, right?
Fourth most popular transfer in to replace Haaland this week.
Nightmare, Eddie, you are. Nightmare.
Yeah. No sign of that.
I think them being out of Europe is going to do them a favour in the longer term. It doesn't feel like it now, but I think they would have struggled to get top four if they'd have carried on in Europe. But
or just
they
struggle if they don't get some players back.
Yeah, yeah. But some difficult fixtures coming up.
And
but
a
for
good
the next...
result for Newcastle on that basis this weekend.
Yeah, sure, sure. They're a different kettle of fish at home. They're very, very good at home. Where else do you want to go? Let's talk about City 2, Palace 2 then. So this is a game that, you know, City looked to have in the bag. 2-0 up. You know, not much to discuss, really. It was a very professional performance. Grealish got the goal. I think then there was one ruled out for VAR. I think Alvarez had a free kick that went straight in. I think Diaz was deemed to be offside and interfering with playing the goalkeeper's eye line. So, you know, a tough break for those that have got Alvarez in their team. And then Rico Lewis popping up with his first goal for Manchester, first Premier League goal, at least, for Manchester City. So, fair play. But then... I don't know. I never thought, and I was listening to this as I walk into my little shindig on Saturday night.
Shindig? How old are you?
I was walking to have a few beers, wasn't I? I thought I'm not gonna obviously not taking the car, and I'm too tight to get an Uber, so I walk into town. and as I was walking in, I was listening to City versus Palace on 5 Live or whatever, and even on 5 Live they were like, it's 2-0 to Man City, but Palace have, like, you know, Hodgson's made a couple of subs, and
there's
you know,
it came on.
He's come on. Olise still looks all right. Mateta in particular just went into beast mode for some reason.
Yeah.
And he in particular really impressed me in that last 20 minutes, Mateta. He was like running and shutting down everything. A 2-0 down, you would have forgiven him for going,
All right,
we've come away to the Etihad and we're going to lose 2-0. And, you know, not that I can't be bothered, but bloody hell, you know, all right, I can't be bothered. But he just ran everything down. He took his goal really well because he was in the right position. And then when he wins the penalty, it's him that goes chasing after Foden or Grealish on that side. I think it might be...
It was Foden who gave away the penalty.
Foden gave away the penalty, but he closed down somebody else on the touchline. When he had no right to, right? But he went sprinting out to the touchline at 2-1, won the ball back, and then did a little 1-2, got into the box, and then Foden's fouled him. And it is a foul as well. It's definitely a foul. And Pep came out after the game. It's a pen, and it 100% was. Sorry, Phil Foden, but it was. And then Elise dispatches it for a 2-2, and they hold on for a point. It was incredible scenes, really. That's, I think, now only their second win in like 10 games or something, Crystal Palace. They've had a bit of a difficult run. They've only won one of their last 10, Crystal Palace. But this is going to feel like a win to Roy Hodgson. Tell me about your Man City assets. So who have you got in your team? Or have you not now that you've transferred Haaland out?
Because I sold Haaland for Solanke this week. So I don't now have any Man City players or any Brentford players. So I have no one blanking next week, which actually feels quite nice.
Yeah.
And that was deliberate, and it was something that I was mindful of going into the last couple of weeks. I had Haaland, but I really did feel like I didn't have enough Man City coverage, and I wanted an extra one. I kind of felt like having a midfielder from City felt like a good thing and the right thing to do, because the fixtures were nice. They had some nice fixtures in there. The problem I had was, one, I didn't want to invest ahead of the blank next week, and two, I didn't feel that there was anyone in my midfield who I was happy to sell. And I'm like looking at your, like, you've got Jarrod Bowen in your team at the minute, and I hate it so much that I don't have Jarrod Bowen anymore.
Good
pick. I'm looking at my midfield five going,
who would I sacrifice to bring in a...
Who leaves?
A Grealish or a Foden. Yeah, would love them, but my other five are still pretty good.
Exactly. Yeah. So for me, the Man City problem was exactly that. Now, I think if you've got a Man City player, the issue that you have going through the next, well, through this weekend, the midweek, and into down to Christmas Eve, when the last match happens, is what do you do with them? Because coming out of that blank, fixtures are nice. For Manchester
City. Particularly game week 20. Look at that. Sheffield United at home.
Yeah, so it's
beautiful.
Everton first coming out of the blank. Now, look, we'll talk about Everton in a minute, but the resurgence in Everton has been really impressive.
That's a tricky little tie up at Goodison now, you know.
It is, yeah. Going to Goodison Park in particular is a challenge.
He'll want Haaland for that if he's fit, won't he?
Well, they will, but, you know, they've made it very, very clear that the Club World Cup is a priority for them.
Right.
Which is really interesting to me, because most of the English teams that go to the Club World Cup don't come out and talk about it in the way that Man City have. But this is the only thing that Pep hasn't won. So this is the thing where they're like, it's in the back of their minds. This is the thing we haven't got. We haven't won the Club World Cup. And if we win this, we've won everything. And they're taking it really seriously, which is why he's been speaking the last couple of weeks about getting Haaland back for Saudi. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. They've got two matches to play out there. So that's the other thing that we look at this and go, oh, they've got a blank. Well, yes, they have. But where everyone else has got one match, they've got to play twice.
And they do need to start picking up results in the league as well. That's one win in six now, I think, for City. So they do need to start picking up some wins. It would not surprise me to see Haaland play at least one of the games out in Saudi Arabia, like you say, if he is prioritising it, Pep, in the way
certainly
that you suggested.
Final.
And then Everton coming back, you know, like I say, that's a tricky little tie. They're going to want their best team out for that. And then Sheffield United at home as well. So if, let's assume that, you know, Haaland plays some part in Saudi Arabia and therefore, you know, is available for selection in 19, what's your plan to get him back? Have you got a plan to get him immediately back?
Yeah.
Or are you just, so you kept the money in the bank?
Yeah.
Switching Solanke back to Haaland?
Well, possibly. It's difficult to know whether I want to take Solanke out until we hear what the Premier League have got to say about the match against Luton.
Sure.
I do have the money to upgrade Cameron Archer. Ridiculously.
Archer to Haaland. I like it a lot.
There is so much money in my bank that actually could work. It might be Archer to Haaland and keep Solanke, but that's the kind of the possibility. And I think for a lot of managers, particularly if Son, and maybe we'll go to Spurs next, particularly if Son doesn't perform against Everton at the weekend, there will be a lot of, and Richarlison or Kulusevski does again, there'll be a lot of managers that go, well, look, in game week 21, I've got to move Son out anyway. So why don't I downgrade him to a Richarlison or a Kulusevski and use that money to help me upgrade an Archer instead of moving Solanke or something along those lines. So I think you have to get Haaland back as soon as he's available. But obviously we have to watch the Club World Cup and we are going to get some insight. We're going to get two opportunities to see whether Haaland's fit ahead of that Everton game.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's go to Spurs then, as you suggested. Let's have a look at that. Nottingham Forest 0, Spurs 2. Just before we do that, I've had a super chat from Todd talking about the fact that FPL have made a decision on game week 17. I don't think that's true. I've not seen anything. I'm having a quick look on Twitter to see whether that's true. If they have and somebody else can confirm it, then great. But I don't think that that's true. Bonus points added, league tables updated. Solanke has 6 points with a green background. Yeah, listen, Todd, I think, unless somebody's going to tell me something different, the statement that we made at the beginning of the live stream still stands, which is, as of 7 p.m. this evening, official FPL have tweeted that they are keeping the game week open and we've got to wait for updates, basically.
They would have added the bonus points for the Liverpool game and the games today. But
yes.
But as with yesterday's update, the Bournemouth-Luton game is officially still live.
Yes, correct, correct. Nottingham Forest 0, Spurs 2 then on Friday evening. Good performance by Spurs in the end. One or two real standout players. I've thought this for a few weeks now. I've really liked the look of Kulusevski in the last few weeks. And this was the game week where, you know, he popped onto everybody's radar. And I do want to give a shout out to the goalkeeper as well, who I think has been fantastic and I thought was really, really good in this game.
Yeah.
I thought... Davis, Ben Davis at the back was really good as well. But from an FPL perspective, what are we saying about Richarlison? Because I've named this, the thumbnail in this stream is all about, you know, which Spurs mid we should be looking at. Many, many FPL players will have Son, right? And Son started out on the left-hand side, looked dangerous. I can tell you as a non-Son owner, it was uncomfortable, particularly the first 20, 30 minutes watching him, because he was the key Spurs threat. It's just that where he was on the pitch meant that every time he got into a threatening position, it wasn't central, it was left. And in the end, Richarlison, who didn't look threatening at all, just was in the right place at the right time. Kulusevski's cross for Richarlison's goal is so good.
Yeah, it was.
The delivery is unbelievably good that whoever was there in that forward position, even if it was me, I'd have added that in. Because the cross was so good. And Richarlison just was right place, right time.
One thing I would say about Spurs in this game is that the first half an hour or so, I thought we were really, really good. I was really impressed. I was enjoying the way we were playing. I was liking Son, even though, as you say, he was playing out wide on the left. He wasn't out so wide like he was at the beginning part of the season that he was on the chalk. He was closer to the penalty box. He was involved in the play. He was really attacking. He was really aggressive. And that came because Kulusevski was playing in the number 10. The injury to Brennan Johnson that meant he had to go off for the cut fundamentally shifted the way that Spurs played, because with Giovanni Lo Celso also absent for this one, the only option we really had was to put Skip in that position and move Kulusevski out into the Brennan Johnson position.
Which is a shame, because Kulu did so well in that 10, wasn't he?
It didn't really massively affect Kulusevski, because Kulusevski is, one of the things I love about him is how flexible he is and he can play anywhere, and that should be an attractive thing to us in FPL, because he can play anywhere and be really, really good. But it did mean that I felt that it moved the trajectory of play down the right hand side, and that meant that Son became less effective once Brennan Johnson had gone off. Now Brennan Johnson, thankfully, there's no concussion, there's no issue, it's just a cut, he'll be back,
he's gonna be back next game week.
Fine.
Okay.
So that's no problem. And that will make a difference again, because I would suspect that that will mean Kulusevski goes back in the 10. And when Kulusevski's in the 10, I think that unleashes both Richarlison and Son to look really good. And he has really grown in the last few months. And I think when he first joined the club, back in that January transfer window, he was brilliant. Then he got injured and he was out for a while. And he kind of lost his momentum a little bit. Then we had a difficult season under Conte. And at the beginning part of this season, I just felt he just never really quite hit the ground. The Spurs team were playing well, but I don't think it was really to do with him. I think it was more to do with the fact, I said this to you on Friday, didn't I, that everyone was looking at Maddison and going, wow, what a difference you've made, how brilliant you've been. He took all the plaudits.
And that meant that we, as FPL managers, because it was Son and Madison that were doing everything and pulling all the strings, they were the only ones we really looked at.
Kulu got a bit lost in the narrative, didn't
they? There was no need for a differential. There was no need to look outside the box. Mm. But what we have now is an opportunity, I think. With Madison out, I mean, he's in Dubai at the moment, so he's not even, like, in the country. He's out doing his thing.
Would you have Kulusevski in FPL then? Because we talked a second ago about those midfield five being, we're pretty happy with them, we're pretty locked in. A lot of them are returning.
Yes.
Can you squeeze Kulu in there?
Well, you maybe can't right this second, but you certainly can from game week 21 when Son's gone.
Mm.
And I think there will be managers, maybe not myself, but there will be managers that sold Haaland and that used some budget to do something else, be that to get Trent or whatever it was that they did. And in doing that, they will now have given themselves a little bit of a headache when it comes to how you get Haaland back. Now, it might be that we don't need to get Haaland back for game week 19, because he's not available for the Everton game. We don't know yet. Until we see what happens at the Club World Cup, we just don't know. But if he's available for game week 20 against Sheffield United, you absolutely cannot go into that game, in my view, without having Haaland. And at the same time, you might not want to sell Salah for that game ahead of going off to AFCON.
Yeah.
But maybe what you can do is make a tweak in the Spurs investment, and you can look at a Kulusevski or a Richarlison in replacement of Son, because while Son's away at AFCON, you know where you're going to find Richarlison. He's going to be up front. If James Maddison comes back in January while Sonny is away, and let's hope from a Spurs perspective that he does.
Yeah, should do. That's the target, right?
Then you don't have to worry about Kulusevski, because that would just mean he'll move back out wide. We'll see Brennan Johnson probably play out in Son's position, and that will be the front four.
Okay, so Kulu on radar, third overall for BPS in the game week, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area, with 45. Only Kudus and Lucas Paqueta, the two West Ham midfielders, could better that. So Kulusevski, bang on radar. Richarlison then, because I sat here last week and I remember doing an Ohana with you for our Patreon supporters earlier in the week, talking about the fact that I fancied him. I thought last game week against Newcastle, and really good performance from Spurs, you know, across the board. But I thought he looked physically better. He had the surgery now. Maybe, you know, mentally that's affecting him as well. So I bought him in this week. I bought Richarlison in this week. When I could have taken Haaland down to Solanke and invested that money in Son, I decided not to do that. And I just did a straight Gordon to Richarlison. Now, whether Gordon was the right person to take out or not remains to be seen. It was either him or Palmer. So this week, that's correct. But I just think Gordon is still a really good asset. And like we said, could have hauled, right? So I was uncomfortable as a Gordon non-owner. But bringing Richarlison in, I'm looking at it and going, well, I've got a four-week period here. And I said this last week, right? Four-week period where you've got four games and then Son's off to the Asian Cup. So everyone's going to sell him anyway. So now that four-week period is three-week period. And as you get closer and closer to Son going to the Asia Cup, I'm less and less inclined to bring him in, obviously, because there's fewer games. And I'm sitting here with Richarlison in my team going, okay, well, round one of four, I've won it. So I've won Richarlison. Everton at home next week, I'll probably lose, right? Because Son will come back and do really well. But just with that dynamic of Son left and Richarlison middle, you know, I'm watching that Forest game and I'm like, with the service that Richarlison's going to get from both an informed Kulusevski and, you know, one of the best in the league, Son, like, and Brennan, who's really good, and Kulusevski in the 10, with those three, like, I'm being a bit facetious, obviously, but like you could play number nine for Spurs with them three around you and you'd get chances. So I'm like 6.6 Richarlison, 1% owned. I'm like, it's just a good opportunity to just go and get an uber differential and hope that something comes off, right? And at the same time, a lot of Son owners will not double up on Spurs because they don't feel like that's the right thing to do. We've got a lot of options in midfield. But I genuinely think Richarlison, really great option. Really great option.
If you had your time again.
Yeah.
If you hadn't invested in Richarlison this week and you were sitting here going into game week 18.
Yeah.
No Spurs.
Mm.
Would it still be Richarlison or would you go for Kulusevski instead on the back of Friday night's performance?
I would still go Richarlison over Kulusevski. I would still have a question mark. So if money was all the same across the board, Son and Richarlison is still a really difficult one. It's still a really difficult one. The fact that you can save $2.5 million or whatever by having Richarlison means that he just gets ahead for me at the moment, just. And the fact that Son's not going to be here in about 3 weeks. So that just gives Richarlison the edge. Richarlison versus Kulu, it's closer than when you'd have asked me this time last week, but I still think Richarlison. Because Richarlison wasn't he didn't really have a great game, I didn't think, against Forest. But he was just there when it mattered. And he's going to be there. If Ange keeps playing him in that centre-forward position, he's going to get chances. He could be, genuinely, what we said in game week one and pre-season, the best asset in the game at 6-6.
I mean, he will play him there. He did say in an interview at the end of the game that... that he didn't feel that Nottingham Forest would play the same sort of high-line style of play, which they don't. And therefore, having Richarlison in the nine was the right thing because they needed Son and Brennan Johnson. And then once Brennan Johnson went off Kulusevski's pace down the outside to feed into Richarlison.
Yeah.
Against other teams who play a high line, I think we'll see the swapping of Richarlison and Son left and centre. I don't think that will make Richarlison a less good option, though. I think we might not see him hang in the box as much as he was. But for the next couple, against Everton at home in particular, I think we will try. He will try and hang in the box because, again, they're not going to try and play a high line against us at home. So we might not have that
Everton, Brighton, Bournemouth.
The Brighton fixture, I think, will be really interesting because Brighton will come and play. Or we will go and play. So in that game, we might see a bit more swapping with Son and Richarlison. We might see a little bit more of try and confuse them by moving around in those positions. But I don't think we'll see that against Everton. So I think against Everton, Richarlison is a really, really nice pick.
Yeah.
I would be tempted if I was punting on Spurs to punt on Kulusevski, though. Mm. I just think he is the sort of... He is a very... We've seen in seasons gone by when he's been fit that he goes on these periods where he's just like, I'm on it. And maybe we're just entering that because the last couple of games I've been really impressed by him. He's looked really good. He's looked on form, fit, firing.
Yeah, yeah.
We've seen returns this week. Maybe they continue over the next couple over Christmas.
Okay. All right. And a very quick word because we're already at 50 minutes, Sam. But a very quick word on Pedro Porro, who you bought in this week, finally gets a clean sheet. No attacking returns, but... got bonus points with just a clean sheet. It's just a really good FPL asset.
I must admit, I hated it. I hated every minute of owning Spurs defender.
Oh, really?
Because it's just stressful. It's really, really stressful owning Spurs defender because you just never... The one thing I will say is that in seasons gone by, when I've owned a Spurs defender, I've always known they won't keep a clean sheet because there's always a mistake at the end. Time, with the goalkeeper, and I said last week I thought he was the best goalkeeper option to have in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
And the man is outstanding. He is truly outstanding.
He's a good keeper.
How he makes some of these saves, I just don't know. And yes, some of them are luck. I get that. But he's in the right places. He's doing the right thing. And I still didn't feel comfy. I just always feel like we've got the opportunity for a slip up, and like we did against Newcastle.
Sure.
So when the clean sheet locked in, I was very pleased. And I noticed that Pedro Porro was on for a couple of bonus points, and I didn't tell you, did I? Until the final whistle went, and I was like, right, there you go. The clean sheet's locked. I only got a couple of baps for us as well. It was
so
nice.
Good.
Nice
yeah,
times.
Very good.
But I was stressful.
He's there eighth amongst defenders for underlying BPS.
Also noticed Matt, Vicky, I know you said at the beginning about Ben Davis looking great, and he did. He's been really fantastic, Ben Davis. Mickey van der Ven is due back for the Burnley game in the FA Cup on the 5th of January, which, if that happens, that is, one, quite frankly, a miracle he's back that quickly.
Yeah.
But also would really improve our defence again.
Good. All right, very good. So, good performance from Spurs. Let's talk very quickly, Chelsea 2, Sheffield United 0. So, Cole Palmer, star of the show, and Nkunku on the bench, an unused sub, but definitely... You know, one to be putting on your FPL radar, I would suggest, given that he's on the grass. Nicholas Jackson popping up with a goal. The reason I wanted to highlight Chelsea is because I'm looking at their fixtures over the next few. Wolves, Crystal Palace at home, Luton away, Fulham at home before a trip to Anfield in 22. There was a very small piece of me when I was thinking of raging Darwin out this weekend or a few hours ago because he was sat bad against Manchester United. There was a really little bit of me that went, oh, maybe I'll go back to Jackson.
I don't think you can.
Do you not think?
No, because of what is he going to do with Nkunku?
Yeah,
like, I think there's a lot of uncertainty. I think had Nkunku come on in this game, we might have just felt a little bit safer about Jackson. Mm. Because we might have understood a little bit more about, you know, are they going to do what they did in pre-season, which is play Jackson and Nkunku up there together?
And look good.
And that looked really good in pre-season. But what does that actually mean for the likes of Cole Palmer? Because really... it's Cole Palmer that's benefited from Nkunku not being available.
But there is absolutely no way.
Correct.
That he's not playing.
There's absolutely no chance that he's dropping Cole Palmer. So who's going to be the sacrificial lamb in that Chelsea team?
Is it Jackson?
We're just going to have to see what Pochettino decides to do. And I think you can't risk, over this festive period, particularly with a blank game week up next for Man City and Brentford, I don't think you can risk a punt on an Nkunku or a Jackson. I think you have to give it at least a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And the problem with giving it a couple of weeks is that then you're closer to that Liverpool game and the fixture's turning again out the other side where they don't look quite as nice. And that's a shame, really, because...
Improvement from Chelsea? Or are we just saying, OK, well, it's home to Sheffield United, you should win?
They were very bad in the first half. Like, that's really unkind. They weren't really bad, but they won the Sheffield United. You should be beating Sheffield United, not 0-0.
They are the whipping boys, yeah.
Like, you really should be smashing them. Second half, Chelsea put on a better performance. Obviously, they get the two goals, they win the game. Fine. I think a team like Chelsea, with the sort of personnel that they have and the players they have in their team, they should be beating Sheffield United by more than 2-0. And if they are... I'm very, very pleased to have Cole Palmer in my team. I think he's a really perfect option in the price point that he is. I'd pay more for him, to be fair, because he's on penalties. He's the heart and soul of what they're doing.
He was really, really
good. He's impressive every time. Even when Chelsea are poor, he's good.
Fourth amongst midfielders across the game week for underlying BPS after, like I said before, is Kudos Paqueta, Kulu, and then Palmer. So he come in at fourth. You know, doing all the things that we want in FPL, even without a penalty this week, because there's a little bit of Penn Merchant narrative there a couple of weeks ago, but he's putting that to bed, isn't he?
A couple of them now.
Great asset.
I'm doubled up on Chelsea with an injured player in Sanchez.
What are you doing with Sanchez then?
I'll have to sell him this week.
Yeah.
Because I can't risk having another week. Well, I don't know yet. Can't risk having another week where I don't have a goalkeeper again because Areola, well, let's see. We don't even know what's happening with him. Let's see who plays in midweek. That might be interesting to watch who plays in that game.
It's Cole Palmer and that's it for me. I'm quite happy to just have him and then just see how they get on. I'm not doubling up or going anywhere else.
I agree, because even though they kept the clean sheet this week, I don't think that there's anyone defensively that I'd really want to go to.
Okay. All right, a couple of games just to whiz through that we haven't seen, actually, because the games that were on TV for us here in the UK this afternoon were Wolves.
We watched the end of the West Ham Wolves, didn't we?
West Ham Wolves, we saw the end of that, and then obviously Liverpool Man U. Arsenal looked to be getting the job done, 2-0 against Brighton. A quick word, just a quick shout for Havertz.
No.
Arteta's just shown a bit of faith in him recently and he's just getting a few goals, isn't he? You just say no straight away because the Spurs goggles are coming on, or...
Who are you going to sell for? Who are you going to sell to get Havertz?
I know, but again...
Unless you're going to sell Saka.
Well, probably not at this stage, but all I'm saying is that Havertz should be potentially on radar because he's just hitting a little bit of form and he's just... Arteta's stuck with him and he's now starting to become a part of that team that I think is important. You can pull a face all you like, but I'm telling you, when you bring in a 1.5% differential, it doesn't make a difference to your rank when they score, and getting somebody like a Havertz ahead of the curve, it can make a difference.
I'm not feeling the love.
All right, okay, very good. Brentford 1, Aston Villa 2 then. Villa showing more than enough character to come back from 1-0 down. Ben Mee, got the red card. So now Brentford's starting to look a little bit thin on the ground with suspensions and
now they
and what
are
have
getting
you.
A rest though, because while Manchester City are going to play two matches, they are getting this bit of midweek off.
Yeah, but Aston Villa looking very, very good, and obviously Watkins is great. And if you haven't got him because you got Darwin in a few weeks ago, I totally understand your logic. It's absolutely the time to reverse that decision. And if you've already got Watkins, then you're absolutely not selling because he's the second best striker in the game.
And probably the best captain option for next week.
And probably the best captain. We'll talk about that. But yeah, probably is. He's certainly up there, isn't he? Certainly up there. Alex Moreno, though, talk me through this because pre-game week one, we were all quite keen to look at him. We all sort of said, okay, well, no, I mean, not in game week one because he's injured. But when, at the point at which he comes back from injury... He's going to be the sort of player that Unai Emery is going to love because he's full Pedro Porro, isn't he? He's like no defence, all attack. And here he's popped up with a goal. And I don't know whether he's going to get the team longer term.
And that's the difficulty, isn't it? Because he's only playing because Luca Dean's... Well, say only. He's got the start today because Luca Dean is suspended.
Yeah.
I suspect that Luca Dean gets the start if Luca Dean is available because he's been playing well on that side. So, and he's managed to keep Moreno out of the team since Moreno's return from injury. I think that position on the pitch is so highly contentious at Villa that it's very, very hard to know.
Got so many good options, haven't they?
They have, and particularly in that position with those two. It's very difficult. And I like Moreno, I do. But I don't think that there's enough clean sheets for Aston Villa. They just haven't been keeping them recently. I know that we had a couple against Arsenal and they were unexpected ones. But before that, they weren't really keeping them. And again, we saw today that they've got it in them to concede goals. I don't know about the defence. If I was investing in the Aston Villa defence, I still think Pau Torres is the way I'd go.
God, I think it's really safe to pick Pau Torres. If someone said to me now, go and get a Villa defender, you have to go and get a Villa defender. And by the way, I might, because I've got this Lascelles, Tsimikas, Kabore nonsense at the back. And if I'm taking money out of Darwin to reinvest in my defence and someone said, go get a Villa defender, I'd get Moreno.
Why?
I'd get Moreno.
How many games do you think he's going to play?
Well, didn't they try and sell? So I think I saw in the chat and I was like, yeah, I agree with that. Sarko, yeah, they tried to sell Dino in the summer.
Well, yeah, they did, but he's been playing really well. And that's the point, isn't it?
But he's had to play because Moreno's not been available. Now Moreno's available, he's first choice.
I don't think he is. Okay, because yeah. I think he was first choice. But Luca Dean's played well this season. He's not been bad by any stretch. It's not like, you know, because Moreno's been fit for a few weeks on the bench and he's not played him. He's played Luca Dean. I think it's a real risk to pick Moreno.
Risk. All right, still a risk. Well, eyes on though. Eyes on, because if he does start to get more regular starts in that Villa side, he is going to be one on our FPL radars, I think, because he gets forward. He is 100% Pedro Porro, but in claret and blue. I like him. That's all the games, Sam. Well, that's most of the games. Let's go and talk about patrons. So many of our patrons are in this evening. Hello to all of you. Patreon.com/FPL family is there if you'd like to come and support the channel. If you'd like a little bit more of Sam and I in your lives, whether you'd like to take part in our Manager of the Month competition, if you'd like a bonus Ohana podcast that we do every week for our Patreon supporters over on the platform, or if you'd like one-to-one Zoom calls with Sam and I to talk about your team or your strategy for the rest of the season, then patreon.com/FPL family is where you can get that. Let's just give a quick shout out to Flavia, who at the end of game week 16, so before game week 17, Flavio was top of our Manager of the Month competition for December with 180 points. Jason was in there also with just behind with 179, former champion Jason, I should say. And Mark was in there with 177. So very highly contested Manager of the Month, but Flavio currently leading the way. Just for all of our patrons that are in, what I won't do is, because the game week is not yet closed by FPL for game week 17, I won't do what I usually do and do the spreadsheet update and all the rest of it, right? Because things could still change for game week 17. So I will just hold fire on doing a Manager of the Month post game week 17 update, guys, for you patrons out there, until we know what FPL plan to do about Bournemouth versus Luton. So watch this space. I won't do an update until we know what's going on with that game.
As soon as they close the game week and everything updates finally,
yes,
then we'll run the update.
We will do that. Yes, we will do that. And just as before we move to our teams, a quick shout out to Nigel the Crab. Thank you, Nigel, for the super chat. Mate, you don't need to keep super chatting. Do it. You're supporting us on Patreon. You're a member of the channel, mate. Just send a normal message, a normal YouTube member message. You have to get the super chat in there, mate.
Listen, Nigel.
Simon, thank you, mate. I'm signing off for the year. Wishing you an awesome one, awesome Crimbo, and New Year Bonfields. Thank you for being you. See you in 2024, mate. It's been a pleasure FPLing with you this year, and yes, have a lovely Christmas and we'll see you on the other side in 2024.
We'll see you in the Slack, I'm sure.
We will see you in the Slack before that, Nigel the Crab. I'm absolutely convinced. So patreon.com/FPL family if you fancy joining Nigel the Crab, Cyberdare, and all the other patrons over on our Slack and get the bonus Ohana podcast, the competitions, all that sort of good stuff. That is where you can find it, and the links are in the description below. All right, Sam, let's talk about our team. So a decent game week for you. 68, minus 4, 10 players. So obviously the goalkeeper conundrum continues to rattle on. But nevertheless, still a 68 minus 4. So an overall rank change of 20%, up to 70k. Talk us through your game week.
Yeah, the defenders. What has happened to
them? Yeah, so weeks and weeks of no clean sheets all of a sudden.
I know.
Boom.
All of a sudden I had four. So obviously I benched Livramento. Let's see if he comes on. He may or may not, depending upon what happens. But Pedro Porro with the eight, Saliba and Tsimikas both picking up. But in fact, bonus points for all defenders as well as clean sheets, which is
loving it.
Which is ridiculous.
Loving it.
So yeah, really, really happy with the defence. In fact, really, it was only Saka and Son that let me down this week, and obviously the goalkeeper nightmare. Had I had a goalkeeper,
your goalkeeper situation just as—it's like it's something that was just a little problem. Now it's evolved into this ridiculous saga where you're doing like multiple hits every week for goalkeeper. Ridiculous! You're supposed to be an expert, South Midfield fan. What's going on?
Well, I can't predict injuries. I don't even know what I'm going to do about it. So I look at my team for next.
This is the thing; it's still not fixed. The problem is still there.
No.
Bloody Areola's wrist and Sanchez's knee.
Oh, my God. And the thing is, that I was really hoping that Pochettino was going to come out and go, if Pochettino just come out and said, Sanchez is going to miss a week, be back next week, I'd have been like, right, okay, fine. As it is, he ruled him out for like a while. And then I saw Areola sitting on the bench on Thursday night and I was like, right, sod it. I'm just going to roll with it and hope for the best. The best did not happen. In fact, the worst happened. Neither of them played. I somehow still got a green arrow.
Unreal.
With 10 players, which is madness. And a decent green arrow as well.
Not bad, right?
Which could change again. Obviously, we'll have to just see what happens. But yes, actually very, very pleased. Going into game week 18, I've got one free transfer. I'll probably take another -4 because I seem to take them every week at the moment. Sorry, I think I've spent too much time with you.
You have.
I've taken back-to-back -4s.
For keepers.
I haven't taken any -4s for keeper last week. Right. Last week, the -4 was I did Mark Gahey to Pedro Porro.
Nice.
And I did Haaland to Solanke.
Solanke, yeah.
So actually, those two things did pay off because both of those guys returned. Let's to see about Solanke, but they did work. And I just had to hope for the best with the goalkeeper because I wasn't taking a -8. On reflection, should I have taken a -8? Possibly.
Difficult.
I still don't know. So going into game week 18, the rest of my team actually looked really nice. I don't have any problems with injuries. For a change.
Yeah.
I don't have any problems with suspensions because Charlie Taylor is now available again. And I don't have any Man City or any Brentford. So I'm actually...
Touch wood, because there are some League Cup games going on. You might get some injuries. You might get...
Well, look, if just I do, saying, I'm might. Taking a -20 at this point.
You have gone full Burdett then.
I know. So going into this week, the only issue I have in my team in theory...
is
the goalkeepers.
The saga continues.
So
bigger than Star Wars this now, this goalkeeper saga. Every
tell
week.
Tell me about it. So Robert Sanchez will be my transfer out, but God only knows who I'm going to get instead.
Just get Dubravka. Stop messing about.
I don't really want Dubravka.
Oh, why? It's just an obvious pick.
Yeah.
It's boring, but it's obvious.
I don't want to make a boring
stop
goalkeeper.
Stop doing -4s for luxury keepers. I want to get a -4 for the Brentford kit. I want to get Flecken for a hit. What are you doing?
He's not playing this week. If I got Flecken, that would be making my situation even worse.
I tell you what you will end up doing.
What?
I guarantee
Vicario.
You'll be doing Vicario for a hit.
No, I'm not.
It will happen.
I'm not doing that because we've got Everton next and I've already got Pedro Porro. I don't like the double up. This is part of the reason I didn't go for Dubravka because I hate the double up defensively and I had Livramento and I didn't want to double up. And so I don't want Raya. I don't want Alisson. I don't really want Vicario. And I don't really want the Dubravka because I've already got those guys. Oh, and I don't want the Burnley goalkeeper either.
Stephen Harker saying, just if you really want the pain, go for hit for Pickford. Pickford for a hit.
Against Spurs.
Against
Brilliant.
Spurs.
Our Pickford hit against Spurs. That sounds delightful.
Oh, my God. But anyway, 68 -4.
Yeah.
Pretty good game
A goalkeeper
week.
Change incoming.
Pretty good game week. Thank you for the super chat while we were waffling on about goalkeepers there. thank you for the super chat, Polkit. He literally has just sent a super chat to urge people to join the patron. So, mate, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Polkit, one of our longer term patrons, has been around with us for ages supporting the channel. So, really appreciate that, mate. And you didn't need to do the super chat, mate, honestly.
Thank you.
But thank you for saying that anyway. Really appreciate
it. They just like all hearing about my goalkeeper dramas.
People are paying to listen to your goalkeeper. People are just like, I'm paying to listen to Sam take hits for Sanchez. I'm here trying to promote the patron and you're bringing in Sanchez for a hit.
So the thing is that normally in a normal season, unless you're wildcarding, no one mentions goalkeepers. Every week I have to talk about goalkeepers.
Yeah.
I have to go on the pod this week and say I didn't have a goalkeeper playing.
Literally everyone else is sitting there going, I've got Dubravka 7 this week, Sam. What are you playing at? And you're going, oh, I've got a hit for this. No goalkeeper
playing. I've got
playing.
A green
just
arrow with 10 players.
A green arrow with 10 players not to be sniffed at. 68. Remains to be seen what happens to Dom Solanke, etc. Otherwise, many of you guys will be in the same situation. But still, good. Green arrow, 70k. Not bad at all. Not bad at all. I've had a very good week.
You have?
Really good week this week.
Starting with Richarlison and Pedro Porro?
Yeah. So, listen, Richarlison getting me off to a great start.
Did
with
you get
a 9.
Some goalie points?
I did. Because I got Dubravka, of course. So, yes. Yeah, so the game we got off to a great start. That Spurs game, like I say, first 20, 30 minutes, I was like, oh my God, Son looks ex-lively. Oh, he looks really, he looked like your key threat. Richarlison hadn't touched it. And then all of a sudden, the man, the myth, the legend, Kulu, puts in an unbelievable ball, which Richarlison just can't miss.
Well, the best thing was is that not so five... Good. No, we should have talked about this during the Spurs game, but like not 4 minutes before Richarlison scored. Lee was digging him out. Nothing.
He wasn't
honestly,
in the game.
He was just like, why have I got Richarlison? So annoyed. And then we got a delivery. It arrived. And Lee went in the kitchen to like deal with it. And then Spurs scored. And he popped his head around the door and he was like, is that Richarlison? And I was like, yep.
Unbelievable.
You had to change your mind about him after that, didn't you?
So always forgiven, Richarlison. Yeah, always forgiven. So
you love him now?
That was, I do not.
He's your favourite player now?
No, I don't like
him. Do you like him more than Darwin?
At the moment, yeah. So listen, yeah, I decided not to go for Son. I decided to have a little bit of a gamble over the next 4 weeks on Richarlison over Son for the next 4 weeks on the basis that most of my team was looking pretty template. So I was like, if I get it wrong, I know that 4 weeks from now, everyone's losing Son anyway. I said this last week, right? So it's a gamble that's a short-term thing. And it's not something where I'm going to go weeks and weeks and weeks without getting Son. And it's a massive problem. And the rest of my team is pretty template. So I needed an injection of something in there that was a little bit differential that wasn't bloody Darwin. And I just thought, he's at 1.5%. I just thought, if he even gets one goal. And like when he scored, I did what I... You should never do, but I checked my live rank and I've gone pew, pew, just diving up from like something like 120k, like I started the game week up to like, you know, 75, 80k, like knocked 30, 40k off my rank just with one Richarlison goal.
Yeah,
is that differential? So loved it, loved getting those differential points. The rest of the team all chipping in as well, right? So really, it was only really Darwin
Saka
and Salah
you, yeah.
that was the problem. Saka, yeah, with the three. From what I understand, he did give Milner a bit of a torrid time today, though, so he potentially a little bit unlucky.
The
defence, yeah, coming in clutch. So Dubravka, Pedro Porro, Gabriel, Simikas as well. Palmer style of the show. I did bench Purcell, yeah, I did. But I don't think that I would have done that any differently.
But you did have Dubravka,
And I didn't want, that was it. I was, you know, Newcastle coming up against a team that just scored 10 goals in two games.
No.
And looking a bit depleted, I was like,
correct, that's why I benched.
I don't want to go all in, so I'll just hedge it by going with one Newcastle defender.
Yeah.
Palmer, obviously legendary, but he's becoming more and more template. Bowen coming in with a goal, which was really nice to see.
It's the Bowen
which is really counter what we've had previously this season, where you had Bowen, I didn't. Now the tables have turned. I'm very happy.
I'm not enjoying it.
Really, really good, and he took his goal so well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Salah obviously not performing, but I think most people would have gone with Salah captain. So it's a hard one to take, but it's fine. We'll go
Who's
with it.
Who's also subbing in for Haaland for you?
Watkins.
You benched Watkins.
I did bench Watkins, but I knew pretty much that Haaland wasn't going to play. But I thought if he plays. Because Pep's comments were like, they didn't really rule him out, did they? They were just like,
well,
he sort of did. But I just thought, if he plays and everyone sold him, I'm just going to stick him in my 11. And then when he wasn't in the squad at all, I was like, that's fine. Because I just know I got Watkins first up anyway. Right?
That was brave, benching Watkins.
Nah, it wasn't really. Come on. I mean, listen, it could have been any one of the others. But who are you going to bench out of that lot? Probably Darwin, to be honest with you. So Watkins is going to come off the bench, which is fine. I have obviously got Haaland, right? So I've not done what I think a lot of other FPL managers will have done, which has gone Haaland to Solanke. That was my other move I could have done. I could have done that and then I'd have used the money to get Son rather than Richarlison, which obviously wouldn't have worked out. So I feel like I'm in a reasonable position for going into next week with Richarlison there, with Haaland still there.
So transfer thoughts for Thursday?
Well, I want rid of Darwin, don't I, really? I mean, I want to get rid of Darwin. I mean, I'm looking at my bus team and thinking it's not looking too bad. I've got Arsenal and Liverpool players playing each other, which I don't
which is
like.
It's not ideal because you've got, like, obviously, the four of them.
Yeah,
no, the
don't
five
like it.
Of them with Darwin.
Yeah, don't like it. So, another reason to bin off Darwin. Not sure where I'd go. You know, that's why I was thinking, like, do I go for Jackson? And then I was like, no, don't do that. Then I was looking at, obviously, Dom Solanke, so maybe he's an option, I don't know. But yeah, that's it's that game. It's the Liverpool-Arsenal game and having, what, five assets in my team? And I'm going to play them all, aren't I, pretty much?
Are you?
Well,
because
probably,
you bring Lascelles
yeah.
off the bench, would you not? So Lascelles could come in for one of Saliba or Tsimikas.
Could do. Yeah, could do.
You could bench Darwin in favour of playing Ollie Watkins, because clearly you're not benching Ollie Watkins next week against...
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, if anything, I'm going to captain Ollie Watkins next week. Home to Sheffield United. I mean, yeah.
But then, having said that, you've got Haaland who's got to go to the bench. So
yeah,
and you've probably got to play Darwin unless you sub him out.
Yeah, my bench is going to be, you know, Kabore and Haaland.
Which actually makes subbing Darwin down to Cameron Archer quite a difficult thing to do, because you've got to play Archer then.
Yeah, it does. So the alternative is that I don't do anything. I just leave it for a week and accept that it's going to be a difficult week and try and just, you know. And we've done this, but I've done this before. Right? This is how I play FPL. Is that there are some weeks where I try and go for it, and there are some weeks where I don't. And this week I thought there's an opportunity. I thought with Richarlison to go for it a little bit, given that, you know, Salah captain was pretty much going to be the standard, etc. Mm. I'm not convinced next week is a week to pounce. I think next week is a week to kind of try and consolidate. And then game week 19 potentially is a game week to try and make a difference, particularly with me having Haaland already in place. I'm not obviously not going to sell him now. I'll keep him, ride out the blank. So potentially I can make a move there with Haaland. And I've got, because I've got him already and the rest of the FPL community are bringing Haaland back in, I can use my transfer to do something a bit different.
Yeah.
Right. I appreciate that. I still haven't got Son. As I said, that is my strategy. I'm going with it now. I've made my bed. I've lied in it.
You're in it now.
If I was going to bring Son in, it would have been this week, so they get 4 weeks out of him. The closer we get to Asia Cup, the less likely I am to get him. But that's my transfer thought. So, you know, it's probably going to be, yeah, Darwin, if any, that's going to make way. But it could be that I just roll it and go into 19 with two free transfers and Haaland already in place, so that while everyone's bringing him back, I can do something different and get the edge again. But 78 points, I'm taking it. It's a really good game week. It's one of my best game weeks of the season. Ranks up to 55k, so I'm proper nosebleed territory for me. And an overall rank change of 62.5. So
a little
happy.
Shout out to both of us, because 55 and 70k. I mean, obviously, it still feels a little bit like we're talking almost as if there's a Monday night game to play. Like we don't know how that's going to look when the game closes for the week. But we're both having a really, really good season.
Season's going well, isn't it? Season's going well. And I don't, you know, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, well, there is a reasonably strong template. I think both of us are in that template. So I don't see, you know.
Why, did no one have goalkeepers or?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everyone's got the old goalkeeper saga. But the template's pretty strong. So I don't foresee there being kind of big swingy game weeks over the next few weeks. The Haaland back thing is going to be kind of interesting next few weeks for sure.
Yeah.
But I think you and both of us are in a similar position, and a lot of FPL managers will be. There is a core forming, like your Salah and your Palmer.
Yeah,
Palmer's pretty core now. Saka's pretty core. Porro, an Arsenal defender, and Tsimikas, Dubravka.
But
that's pretty core, isn't it?
But don't you feel like we're three game weeks away from that going out the window? Because Salah and Son are going to go off to AFCON.
It's going
to
change it,
Robertson's going to come back
and totally.
Tsimikas is going to lose his spot.
Yes.
Like, I think we are 3 weeks away now.
From total
from
carnage.
From total chaos.
Yes.
Because everyone disappears for the... And I know it's not everybody, and that's a real exaggeration. Like, Onana, I saw someone put in the chat, get Onana. I'm not getting Onana, he's going off to AFCON. Like, that's just another problem with a goalkeeper. Like, that for me is a nightmare. So you've got to really think about AFCON and stuff now, because we are a few game weeks away from chaos when Son and Salah go. The whole thing goes up in the air again. Plus, when Robbo comes back, Tsimikas is a problem. When Dan Burn and Botman are back, and what happens then with the Livramento Lascelles pick? All of this could fundamentally change what we're doing in FPL, and I'm sort of here for those moments when that happens, because I think it gives us a bit of an opportunity then to look at our teams and go, where's my priority fixes? Mm. Now, at the minute, for me, I'm looking at mine. Yours actually looks okay, apart from the fact that you've got five players in that one match.
Yeah, I don't like it.
That's not ideal. Mine looks okay. I mean, I'm benching Tsimikas next week, so I've got three playing in that game, which feels a bit better. But I don't have a goalkeeper. So we've all got our own individual issues that we're kind of looking at. And I think Darwin owners will find that as an issue. If you've got Flecken as your goalkeeper, you're going to find that as an issue this week if you don't have a backup goalkeeper option. So there are, I think this week could be quite interesting. And of course, as we mentioned at the beginning, we've got the League Cup game. So if you get any more injuries in those games,
yeah,
that'll cause some grief as well midweek heading into this, right. into this set of fixtures.
There's probably a few weeks left of a bit of a template with a few little interesting picks around the edge like Richarlison, etc. But yeah, once the international tournaments kick in, it's going to be very interesting, isn't it? Going to be very interesting with Salah and Son going out of people's teams and Haaland presumably coming back in. Sam, tell everybody what is coming up this week.
So you are doing off the bench tomorrow.
I am. Az and I, right?
With Az, yeah.
Love it.
I am quite jealous of you two doing it together. It's like my two favourites on a pod together. Listening to that's going to be brilliant.
Has he had a good week? Do we know, Az?
Don't know. I mean, this is Az. He's not really having the best of seasons, bless him. So,
it's tough to make... Going back to the conversation we just had, next two or three weeks, if you are finding it quite tough at the minute or your rank's not where you want it to be... The next two or three weeks, it's still going to be quite template-y.
Yeah.
But when those international tournaments kick in, that is your opportunity to go, bang, I'm going to attack this with a differential and it's going to look like this. I'm going to plug him in there. So it can all change. Absolutely. You know, it can all change.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, it's going to be off the bench with Az and Lee tomorrow. Jules Kelly, myself and Ian will be back on Wednesday this week because obviously it's a Thursday deadline.
Yes.
So the official podcast
will
be...
Coming thick and fast, right?
Yes. So the official podcast will be out on Wednesday this week. Lee and I will also put an Ohana out for our patrons on Wednesday as well ahead of the Thursday deadline. And then obviously the weekend is taken up with the game weeks. It doesn't finish game week 18 until Sunday, Christmas Eve. When Chelsea and Wolves
Chelsea
are playing each
Christmas
other.
Eve, aren't they? What's that about?
Playing on Christmas Eve afternoon, so that's happening. And then obviously there'll be the Boxing Day round of fixtures that start on Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah. So Christmas Day, what, Monday, and then Boxing Day, Tuesday. So we've got, what, League Cup, Tuesday, Wednesday. Game week 18
Thursday.
Starts on Thursday and runs for a few days, presumably, because all those that played in the League Cup are playing on the
Saturday,
later in the game week.
Yeah.
Christmas is Monday. And then Boxing Day, a full schedule.
Which it runs until Thursday.
Yeah.
And then...
When is City out in Saudi Arabia then? Most of the next week?
Yes.
And then back for Boxing Day, Everton.
Back for their game against Everton on Boxing Day week. and then, in case we don't see everybody, on the week of Christmas, Lee and I will be, both of us, in the FPL...
Yes,
in the
wait.
Fantasy Studios, doing the fantasy show together on the 28th.
I haven't been down in Uxbridge for ages.
I know, I'm really excited to go with you this time, because normally I just go by myself and Lee will zoom in occasionally, but this time around you're coming with me. So that's Christmas week, we're going together to do that. And then if you really haven't got enough of Lee and Sam in your life over Christmas, you can also catch us on Sky on the 29th. We'll be doing that on the Saturday morning ahead of that deadline. So yeah, it's going to be absolutely chaotic, busy, busy, busy period of time for fantasy content. Over
this
couple
is
of
where you FPL manager, you engaged FPL manager, this is where the cream rises to the top.
What
guys.
About the players that don't have a goalkeeper?
I don't know, Sam. I don't know. I just hope by the next time we do a live stream, you've got Dubravka, you can just...
I don't really want
just
Dubravka.
Settle with Dubravka or do whatever you're doing with goalkeepers, but stop taking hits for goalkeepers. It's really
I've
not
only
advisable.
Taken one hit for a goalkeeper.
Really not advisable. Guys, thank you for joining us this evening. Leave us a like before you go. If you're new to FPL Family, hit that subscribe button, all that sort of stuff. If you're celebrating Christmas, have a great Christmas.
Are we streaming on Christmas Eve?
Wait, so what?
Because in theory, there we could stream next Sunday.
At the end of 18?
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve.
Do you want to spend Christmas Eve doing a stream?
Yeah, should we do that?
Do you want a Christmas stream, everyone?
Christmas Eve stream. Hit the like button. If we can get enough likes, we will do a stream Christmas Eve evening. Should we do that? At the end of game week 18?
I normally do all my wrapping.
I was going to say, you're not going to be busy.
I will, but we could do a condensed... We could do a shortened...
Shorter stream.
An hour stream.
Yeah, because you know how that goes whenever we say we're going to not spend too much time on a stream. Be 2 hours.
No, but I do actually have to wrap up things. So I'll try and get my wrapping done in advance. But it does kind of make sense, I think, for us to do a bit of
a stream
on Christmas Eve. Because there's a game on that day as well.
All right. Well, I'm going to say Merry Christmas to anyone that can't join us on Boxing Day. Can't join us on Christmas Eve.
We're not coming
Eve,
on Boxing Day.
Busy doing other stuff. But we will see you, apparently, on Christmas Eve in the evening.
We're delivering you a Christmas present. It's us.
After the conclusion of game week 18. So, guys, good luck. Throughout this week, keep those knees from jerking at least for a couple of days until the League Cup is done, and then make your moves. Leave us a like before you go, hit subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.